What days was that?
Oh, in
1994, 1995, 1996. How old were you then?
7. I remember all that. I can remember way back in 1904 when they built that seawall. You see the seawall built?
Yeah, we saw it sticking up out of it.
It was built in 1904. I remember that. I got my niches. I guess it wore out now. But down here right at the end where it starts?
Yeah.
I got to put my niches there.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm, back in 1904.
Do you remember the, what they called the grade raising operation? When they jacked all the houses up and...
Well, do I remember? I lived on 11th and 8th here, and they had a dredge pipe right out of my back gallery.
Huh.
Right over the back gallery, they had that dredge pipe. That's when he dredged pumped all in the gallery in here.
Then what were they doing, pumping mud in?
Mud and sand, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it must have stunk pretty bad.
Oh, gee, yeah. But it come out the back gallery. We'd have to have it skipped. And the store right around the corner getting it skipped and paddle through that mud and all. There used to be a kid named Jimmy Henry. And he had a saloon down here on 13th and A. Well, that's been about 67 odd years ago. And so on one Sunday, and they was pumping it all out, and that's when they great raiding pumping. And he had a white suit on. He walked out on the platform, his fellow boy, got that foreign mud, he stuck in the mud. And they named him, he called that name till he died. Stick in the mud. I was thinking about him the other day. Of course he's dead now. Yeah, I'll never forget that. He just walked and just walked right on off it and got off. Then he used to have nothing but horses them days. See, he had a horse, ambulance, that's all they had, and just two horses got. And they'd come on down 12th Street, and he only had one little old hospital here, John City Hospital. Just had one little old building.
That's the red building?
No, that's the...
Oh, that was the medical school.
That was the medical school, but this was the main John City Hospital. Just had two little wings on. I don't guess they had over 50, 60 rooms in there. And man, they come down and ringing that bell down 12th Street, 12th and Strand, they come on down Strand. And they were pumping all back in it, see. But sometimes they couldn't make that turn. And I seen them horses run out in that mud, sticking that mud there, almost all night long. Go get a winch or something, pull them out.
How long did it take them to do all that, to finish the pumping job?
Oh, it must have took them about 6 months, I guess.
Hmm.
Then the great raise again back in 1921, I believe, out in the West End. And that's the time I was waiting for one of my house raises. You raise these houses, see? And they pump and fill that all out and then. And there was about six of it working on one house. They had these little old jack houses. It wasn't about four rooms straight on through, see? And them crazy guys, you know, you'd be full on them jacks and raise that house up, see? And them darn fools on the other one side. They'd get it up and they have the house over like that. That's the one I didn't do it over like that. That is crazy.
Why'd you tell Lon about when you worked on the tugboat down on Matagorda? When was that, 1919 or 1918?
Oh, that was...
That your fishing and the one-armed guy was trying to catch all of them?
Oh, that was the one-armed constable down here. No, that was down when Matagorda was down at Port Aransas. Oh, geez, we'd go out there floundering. And you could gig one, flounder, and step on one, gig one, and step on one. And you could go out there at nighttime, and you'd catch 300 to 400, 500, 600 pound flounder in no time. And all we had, you see these torches they got now, these regular gas lights?
Yeah.
What we had was just, you seen one of these great cans, you had an engine?
Uh-huh.
We had one of those, and it had a little pipe stuck in it and got some of this old wick, and you wipe off the engine. And kerosene, and we had a tomato can, but that's what I used for flower torch.
Huh.
Down there. And we'd go out there, and there was an island running from Port Aransas to Aransas Pass, about 7 miles long. But right on that end, you could just go back and forth on the ends, about a block and a half wide, and just gig one thumb and step on one, gig one and step on one. And it was $50 fine, and got caught down there. They fined you $50. And one night we come on across there, and they had told us about this one on constable down there. So the wind was blowing kind of well that night. So we got out, and the step off was just about in the head of the wall, away from the shore, see? So we come on out, we getting ready to get out, and this guy hollers, hey, he says, did y'all see a torch laying along here? He said, no. And when he turned around, the wind caught the nub of his coat and blew it around. It was a constable. So we went on back to the tugboat. The next night, they had a derrick barge down there. Was the name of D.B. Four. We'd lift all that big rocks and all, you see. And they went over there and got around. There was two of them. Of course, a $50 piece. You just stepped out and gave one blanche.
Oh, got them.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. And you couldn't go swimming down there. They had a schooner down there. And had a little kid on it, he must have been messed for. He dove off that thing and the shore got him like that. They never did get him. And they had sharks down there with mouths that big. We'd go in there and take a big piece of ham out of the icebox. They had one of the big icebox like a beer box, you know, a great big island. And we'd hook it on a hook and throw out. And them sharks are 15, 18, 20 foot long.
What were you all, Rich?
No, I don't tug boat.
Mm-hmm.
What were y'all doing on it? What was the tug doing down there? Moving the dredge
plow? We had what you call the sea plow. They had a dredge gouge in there. She was a sand sucker. And the bottom was hard. The old white hard sand I got on the beach. And we had what you call a sea plow. It had it must have weighed about 5,000 pounds. And they had teeth on it like that, see, on both sides. We'd drop it over, and we'd pull that thing, and loop some sand, and the dredge come behind and suck the sand up, and haul it on out and dump it, see? We threw that...
What was the dredge dredging? The channel up into the...
And Corpus Christi.
Oh, I see.
Corpus,
I see.
And,
you worked down there?
Yeah, I was down in Port Aransas. That Port Aransas, it starts right into, that's right on the...
On the north side of Corpus Christi.
Yeah, you go right straight on through. But from Port Aransas to Corpus Christi is about 4 foot of water all the way through there. It wasn't water at all.
4 feet.
That's all.
Is that right?
You couldn't get through there with a side boat. That was back in 1919. And we threw that thing over. The first day we threw it over. We throw it over 7 o'clock in the morning. We go to work 7 morning, get off before the evening. And we're still pulling, and we didn't leave. I don't believe we gained that much. At 4 o'clock to leave, we couldn't move it. So we had to get the dredge boat to come over there and get the big derrick to pull it up, and it took half the teeth out. Then we pulled that thing, and it took us over. I think the docks was about 4 blocks from the bar. They had two jetties like out here, two regular jetties.
Made out of granite?
Yeah, all granite. Just like out here, you see the jetties out here? It'd take it all day to pull that thing one way down there.
Did you ever pull up any wrecks?
Oh yeah, wrecks and everything. We'd get caught on the wrecks there. Then we had to get the dredge boat. So, getting back to the plowing, T.C. Anderson, he was a captain on the 50. He's dead now. He was a captain on one of those, sulfur boats. One of the big ships that hauled sulfur, you know? And We had, we must have had about 3,000 pounds of flounders. So we got orders that morning. We thought he was going back the next morning. We got orders from headquarters to stay down there for another 2 weeks. So we had our own flounder, we couldn't sell them down there. So we took them over and got a hold of this TCS and just kept him on his salt boat. He asked him on the flounder. Yeah. So you got any whiskey? So he gives a gallon of drum, rum. He gave me a $10 bill. I said, I don't want no money. So we give him, I think it was 5 corn sacks of flounders. Oh, great big thing. We come on back. We stayed on another 2 weeks. So we was got orders to come back. And we was going to go out there and make a kill on these flounders. See, if you bring them down, they get 25 fish in the top of them. We went out there, we got 13 flounders. June fish, they caught June fish right off the wall.
They might not even know what a June fish is.
Yeah, I don't know what a June fish is. What is a June fish? Can you eat it?
Oh, that's one of the best meats in the water. That thing gets around 300, 400, 500 pounds.
Oh my.
They got them in the steaks, called jewfish steaks. And they just melt in the mouth. And, I don't know what to sell them now. I guess they must be about $1 a pound now.
Oh, how much pound?
About $1 a pound.
They worth more than $1.80.
$1.80?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The last time I know it was around $1.
I knew that.
But you know what, Melina, Frank Melina used to get me? A cent a pound.
Yeah.
1 penny a pound.
Oh.
Didn't you catch a bunch of shrimp one time and you couldn't even sell them? When was that?
Oh, I got, it was 400 pounds. Me and Alec Balfour. One of them great big shrimp, just like the ones we're 269 now. And, DePulio. He had a place on 19th, Pier 19. And he was out there, Alec Balfour and I, and your grandmother, so he was standing there. He says, hey, I'll take them shrimp. And I said, okay. But 3 cents was the top price then, 3 cents a pound.
What year was that?
Well, that was back in 1931. So I said, okay, we bring them down here. So when Alec Balfour didn't go at me, I went down to me and your grandma, and he took all the shrimp off and put them on this great big table, and then, like 10 or 15 niggas, they're getting ready to pull their heads off me. He come out with a check for $12. And, no, it wasn't $12, it was $4. I said, what is this? They said, there's shrimp. I said, no, you were supposed to give me 3 cents a pound, that's $12. Oh no. He held me there for about 5 minutes. I said, well, put them back in my trailer. They want a box trailer. Oh no, I'll give it. I said, you couldn't give me 2 bits of our now. So he put them all back in there, took them down to the Dominican over here, to the sisters over here, gave them half and took the other half to our office home and gave them the rest of it.
I didn't blame you.
That's great.
Give me a cent a pound for them. They were them beautiful, big bull shrimp.
That's great.
I told him, I said, you couldn't give me 2 bits of pound for them. Man, I was mad.
You just can't catch shrimp like you could
at one time. Well, I used to go down
there. Were you a commercial shrimp fisherman?
No, I went to the fire department.
Yeah.
I had 2 or 3 seines at a time.
Yeah.
Well, you can say a commercial one.
Yeah.
I've sold them.
Yeah.
Alec Balfour and I, we used to go oysting, and we'd oyster sometime for 2 days a week or 3 days, then open the rest of it. Then nighttime we'd go out there, seine and pull a seine.
Yeah.
Sometime we'd pull a seine out there all night, we wouldn't get enough to eat.
Well, when these shrimp boats used to go out, you know, and catch shrimp, would they bring the shrimp right back to the dock and the buyers would come down and buy them?
They'd bring them back here, yeah. They'd buy them from them, yeah.
By right on the boat?
Yeah.
Right on the dock.
Yeah. I think it was getting, what was it now? 20 places a pound for him. See, they only had one, what do you call it? You freeze something. Cold storage.
Yeah.
One cold storage, you see. Well, they'd take so many hundreds of pounds, they'd fill it up, and they wouldn't take no more. If you went out there first and caught the shrimp, you got 3 cents a pound. But if you come out there and about five or six come in here, they give you a cent a pound from it. Big old bullshit.
So you had to get in early.
You had to get in early. If you didn't, you wouldn't get nothing from it.
Yeah.
What happened if you got in after they were full?
Well, before you had to give them away. You couldn't sell them.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Cut through.
I'm telling you the truth. I opened and walked down that door. You could go out on that beach out there, and you've seen a dip that you dip crab with.
Yeah.
And dip down in that water and get that thing full of the big shrimp.
Hmm.
That's a plentiful water. Of course, they didn't have these great big shrimp boats here. They didn't have them. They didn't know what a shrimp boat was then. See, all these boats that come in now, they come from Florida. They were down in Florida and they fished all the shrimp out down there. So then they all come in here. There must have been about 4,000 or 5,000 boats.
Hmm.
And that's why the shrimp is so high now, because shrimp is scarce. Them guys tell me, oh, it ain't going to wait them shrimp. It ain't going to wait them. I said, it's bound to be in someday. And sure enough, it is.
Well, what happened in World War I? Didn't you say they used to be pretty rough here? They had a lot of soldiers here? Didn't you used to tell me that?
Oh, Lord, geez, they had, I don't know how many thousand they had. You mean Texas City, then? They had plenty of soldiers here.
Was Fort Travis going in? Out here?
Yeah, they had soldiers out here. And Fort Travis and over in Bolivar.
Oh.
Sure.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And,
we'll get some to put. Could I have one? I'll put one back before I...
What? No, take what you want.
Take what you want.
I want that for you. No,
yeah, you know they tried to get Parks and Wildlife's been trying to get Fort Travis, State Parks and Wildlife.
Yeah.
They won't let them have it.
Who owns it?
I don't know. The private now. Yeah.
I used to go to the
World War I, they had a, excuse me.
Go ahead.
And, they had a bunch of Marines. They must have had about 15,000 to 20,000 Marines over in Texas City. Texas City was big in Galveston one time.
Mm-hmm.
Population, when they had all the soldiers. And, I don't know, they had a, they called a district down here. You know, possibly. And, I don't know what happened down there. They got some kind of an argument out here. And man, they set that whole outfit on fire.
Mm.
And the fire department come there.
Who, at the Marines set that town on fire?
Set the whole complete thing on fire. Fire department come there and he took fire axes and chopped the hose. And just went right down. That was during World War I. Oh, them guys are rough. Jesus. And the sailors, my God, I don't know how many thousand they had. They had a bunch of them. I had a cousin by the name of Harry Shepard. And I was sleeping down there in one of them places on 29th in the post office. And a guy come down and he said, hey, your cousin down there getting killed down there. I went out on the front guy, looked down there, and man, there must have been 200 sailors down there. I said, I ain't about to go. But he'd always pick up an argument, see. He loved drinking him and wanted to fight. He'd come out and pick me all the time, wanted to fight me. And I didn't do anything in the world. But he was always drunk.
Did he live?
Hmm?
Did they kill him?
No.
Beat him up.
They really beat him up, though. Yeah. One of the guys come down and said, hey, how are your cousin down there getting killed down there? I said, and I looked out there, I said, I can't help him. I said, someone killed me.
The reason for both of you getting
killed.
Just try to
they really beat him up.
Okay. Well, I think when they're going on.
Okay, and want me to leave the key with you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I haven't played poker at all, about 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
We have good poker games there. One guy down at Texas down there, Perkins, he used to own that station down there. And I invited him down here on a Friday night. And he was an alcoholic. He drank 3 and 4 fifths of that vodka a day. God almighty, he had a fortune down there. He left. They took everything away from him. He didn't. He owed the bank a big, around $15,000-$18,000. And I'd bring him over here on Friday night, and he'd be all full of that stuff. And he'd pay. Some nights I lost $50-$60 there. Just bullied it, trying to keep up with him. And he'd raise it. He'd say, "I'll bump you." And every time I come around, I bump you. You don't pay too much limit, see? I bump you for a quarter. And then I get so doggone hot, I wouldn't have nothing. I'd bump you too. And you know, when the hand was finished, he'd have the best hand. He'd draw some of the craziest hands, full houses and, oh man, spade flakes and all that stuff. And he was a goofball.
Well, what about the fireboat? When did you first go to? When did they first build that fireboat?
Well, they built that. They got that in 1929. But they had the J.W. Clark. That was a tugboat. She was a steam. They used tiny ships up there. But
when was she built?
Oh, she was built way back in around early 1900s, around 1902 and 3, something along there. And they had that charter, you see, and they had 3 firemen on there, and the rest of them was looked like a Boyce Marine. They were regular seamen, didn't they? And firemen and oilers and that. And in 1929, they bought this here gasoline. And it was S.S. Galveston. And I think they paid, $50,000 for that thing. No, $150,000. She had 2 2,500 horsepower engine with the gasoline. And she'd carry about 8,000 gallons of gasoline, 4,000 in one tank and 4 in the other. And that's what we was fighting them fires with. We get eating them fires with all that gasoline there. So we had a fire down here on a SP elevator. A big chute, see that grain goes through the big chute there and comes down into the ship. And that thing, oh, it was a fire.
When was that?
That was back in 1932. And we got underneath that thing, and all that stuff was falling down on that deck, and there we were with all that gasoline on there. And we sprung a leak in the gas line. And I had one of those great big, oh, it was more than 15-pound bucket. It was one of them great big galvanized buckets, one dead everything. And we had a fellow on there by the name of Louis the Mayor working with me. He was a fireman, see, I was oiling. And he get that bucket filled up, come up on the deck, and all that fire falling off, he threw it right overboard, falling down in it. So we stayed there all night and practically the next whole day. And we couldn't, we just barely hit where the fire was. It had all that corrugated iron on there. And we couldn't do nothing but just hit that iron, and that wasn't doing a thing. You had to get inside to do anything. But that thing just went from one end to the other. It just I think it was about, it must have been about a block and a half long.
Mm.
And it was about a 10 by 10 chute, see? It was a square chute, see? And all that grain come through there and down into the spout and right down to the ship. And we had a ship loading down there, right alongside of us. And they had us hemmed in just side by side, see? And there was nobody on that thing but one man. And he took their ship out by himself.
How big a ship?
Well, one great big thing, about 600 foot long. Well, it was a great big freighter.
How'd he take it out?
Just got up and took it out. Just by himself. And he got out in the middle of the road out there, and then they whistled for tugboat. Tugboat come and got him. First mate, that's what it was. First mate took it out.
How many fires did the tugboat fight? How long did that last? When did they get rid of her?
Oh, they got rid of her in 1947. They still owe money for it. They never did pay it off.
How many fires did she fight in all those years?
Wasn't many. Well, we get a norther down there. We was up in the slip, see? And we had a captain on there, and Captain Jensen, he was an old-time seaman. He went to sea all his life, see? And he'd drink. He'd come down and so doggone drunk and not have to put him in a pilot house up there and put him asleep. If anything come in, we couldn't go.
That's the fireboat.
Yeah. So in the wintertime, we get them strong northers, see, and go right in the north-northwest. And we couldn't back out of that thing. It was impossible. Didn't have enough power to go back through there. So he looked at me and said, well, what do you think about it, Dan? I said, we can't go, Captain. Then the district chief, he'd call up and want to know what was wrong. And we, a lot of times it was false alarms, see, Pier 41, Pier 439, something like that. I said, hell, we were down here, but there was nobody there. Y'all had went back already. Well, he said, I didn't see you. I said, we come here. We never did leave the dock. Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Okay.
And, then they had a, that guy I was telling you about, T.C. Anderson, the one that bought the flounders from me.
Mm-hmm.
He was captain of one ship, and the last captain I worked under was Captain Davison. And they'd always have fights. And you know, they'd come to work with guns on them. Yeah, guns on them. He was waiting for one another. And that's how they...
They both worked on the same boat?
Same boat, but they're relieving one another, see? Like if we were working 10 hours a night, daytime and 14 at night. Well, the day the crew would come on at 6 o'clock and work at 8 in the morning, 14 hours, see? Then the other ship in the daytime would work 10. They relieve one another, see? But there's two ships. Now they got three ships. Three ships. A, B, and C. But they only had two ships in 24 hours. They'd work about 10 and 14, and then on a Saturday, they'd work 24 hours one Saturday, and the next Saturday, they'd be off 24 hours. And we had some kind of thing. And we went to...
Did y'all go to Texas City? Were you on a tugboat?
No, I was supposed to go on that morning. So, it was Captain Dillyman. He was on it. And Flake from Central Station. That was Kid Flake. He used to fight here years ago. He was a good fighter.
Kid Flake?
Kid Flake, yeah.
He was a fireman?
Yeah, he was a fireman. Oh, he just...
That's a good name, huh?
They retired him here about about a year or so ago, yeah. He was in the fire department, like me, about 40 years. And he was on there. So they got a call to go over to Texas City, see? Well, he got over here in Texas City Roads out here, right around the quarantine station, cutting in Texas City, when that first explosion went off. And they said that it just took their boat up and set it right back down.
What? Just took the fire boat?
Yeah. And it was about a half mile away. See, that was the high fly, I believe, went off first. That's when it, when they had that big disaster in Texas City.
Yeah.
And they was kept on going. And 13 minutes after, the next one come on. And he said they took that fireball and just turned it around like a top.
How long was that fireball?
87 foot. She only built out of 3/16 iron, a little bit of old thin stuff. So they got on over there, and there was a barge full of gasoline on fire. And this Captain Durbin wanted to go right alongside and fight it, see? Still, the fireboat had about 6,000 gallons of gasoline on it. And that flake told him, he said, if you go alongside that, he says, I'll throw you overboard on you. You got to get out of there. And about 2 hours after,